Go.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Jepai Bautista. I'm part of the kids' ministry team, actually. I'm curious, who amongst you started going to church because somebody invited you? I think that's all of us, right? Now, who amongst you started to get more confident to, you know, read the Word, to study the Word, and attend church because somebody taught you how to read the Word? Somebody actually brought you to church and sat with you in church. I think that would be me as well. Now, on the other hand also, who amongst us started leading a small group because somebody believed in us and said, come on, Jepa, you can do it. Come on, May, you can do it. I think that's all of us, right? We're all here this morning in this room because all of us experienced that to some degree. Maybe to some it would have been a dramatic moment of somebody inviting you, somebody walking through the process. Some of us maybe even did not want to go to that small group. You know, I remember there were times when I started leading the small group we're in. I'd come prepared. You know, I'd do my study, I prepare and all that. And when I go there, when I started leading, there was actually nobody there. And when now that the women are, you know, there are some women who are with me, and you know, I tell them, come on, it's time for you to start and all that. And then one of the women, she has a small group here in High Street, and she'd say, Jepai, can we just, maybe I'm not the right small group leader because, you know, I only had one small group leader, and then that one, she's now gone. So I told her, you know, it's perfectly okay. That's how I started also for many years. I come prepared, and there were times it was just me and the Holy Spirit, and that was also okay. It strengthened my character and my resolve as well to be a small group leader during those days. Okay, so this morning, I'm going to share with you a topic that's, I think, close to everybody's heart. The reason we're all here today is because of this word. The word is discipleship. And in particular, the topic that was assigned to me is on how to make disciples. I think just like what everybody said, this is a topic that we've all heard. We've all heard it preached to us. We've heard it. It's something that's also close to our heart. I think that's one of the reasons why we're all staff in this organization today, because we understand, we know perfectly well the value of discipleship, right? Am I right in saying that? Okay. When discipleship was never a side issue with Jesus. In fact, before he ascended to heaven, this was his last, this was one of his last commands and reminders to all of us to go and make disciples of all the nations. And I'm very, very blessed to be part of an organization we're in. I see this every day. I see this every day in big ways and in little ways. And it makes going to work really fun. You know, for me, it's never just about work. I tell the women and even my family, when they ask me, Mom, what do you do? I used to work in a very different organization. I said, okay, I read the Bible, I go out with some volunteers, we have coffee, and then I write curriculum and all that, and then they see me work on the videos and read all that. And my oldest son who's in college says, Mom, you have such a cool job. Can I get your job when I graduate? Because he sees that what I'm doing is talking to a lot of people, but at the same time, it's actually part of what I do, to read the Word, to attend our worship services as an organization, and all that. No, and that's, I think that's what I call an icing in the cake. Okay? So making disciples, to go back to my point, okay? Making disciples is what I just described, somebody inviting you and sharing the gospel to you and teaching you what the Word is about, and then believing in that person and saying that, hey, it's your turn. Going with them with the process of knowing the Lord more, making the people be drawn to Jesus Christ, and then at the same time, at the end of it all, seeing that person as well feel confident enough to go out on his own and do the same thing with somebody else. I'm standing here today because somebody did that to me. I know that all of us are here also in this room today because somebody believed in us, and I think that wherever we are, whether we are admin staff, whether we are campus ministers, it's really a passion. It's really a passion that we all have to go and make disciples. You don't Discipleship does not have to be complicated. Time. Yay. Now I can eat.
Are we still adding? All right. Can we offer Jepai some positive reinforcement, some critique? Yeah, Tricia?
Confidence, and she feels comfortable with the people she's talking to.
Yeah.
I like the way she sensitively introduced herself, not assuming that everybody knows her.
That was nice.
Yeah, and she relates well by stating what does she do.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's among us.
Yeah. Why were you so nervous? You were awesome. It's like you do it all the time. Yeah. I mean, you were a natural. Why is she nervous? Yeah, Henry?
I think she connected well with everybody. Just the beginning part, asking everybody how you came to church.
Yeah,
so it was, we all knew what it felt like to be left, you know, and to do a victory group and not have anybody attend.
Just you and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The asking of questions at the outset and all through your message is always very effective. It forces people to get engaged, and it connects with them. And using the questions at the outset was very effective in getting our attention and connecting with the audience. Yeah, what else did we like about what she did? I want to hear from this side. Okay, Chris?
I like how she delivered every single word. It was very clear, and it was very pleasing to the ear. So it made me want to watch her more.
This table has a responsibility for critique, so go ahead. You've got the mic in your hand.
Okay.
Tell her what she could have done better.
Yeah. Even if she was very articulate, but there are some distractions. She kept putting her hair to the side, and then some pauses like, Yeah, I forgot the disease, how it was called. But sometimes it really makes you think what she's going to say next. Or sometimes maybe because of her nervousness. So the feelers are distracting.
The conclusion, I was really engaged the whole time. But when she didn't get to finish, it was like, what was the point again? So because I got so engaged with the illustrations, but I missed the entire thing because I just watched her, and then it landed. So I was like, what were we talking about again?
I was also distracted because she started packing up about 30 seconds before the end of her time. So she was, she had her pen, she was stacking up all her things, and I thought she was gonna go somewhere already, and she still had about 30 seconds left to go, so. but the only other.
That's bad.
The only other thing, suggestion I had was, I felt that it took a little bit of time to clearly state what she was talking about.
Yeah.
And so I was engaged, but I wasn't sure what her topic was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the truth. You did a great job. You were very relaxed and comfortable. You shouldn't be afraid because you have a talent and a skill. You can do this. So you should do it more. Your illustrations were great, but you lacked clarity and focus about the topic. And even at one point you said, but to get back to my topic. It's like, you don't have that luxury in 5 minutes to stray from your topic. Yeah, you got to hit your topic strong. But great job. All right, let's see who's next. Excited. That was so good.
Hi, good morning. My name is Cricket Abelio, and I actually work here in Every Nation Philippines. I work in the development department. You may ask what that is. The development department is actually the department that raises funds and process all the donations. Okay, my topic that I picked today, which was actually something that I am not really sure how I was going to speak about, is social responsibility. Okay, as a youth, I actually wanted to change the world. We all have those dreams when we were young, I hope, right? How many of you had those dreams? So I always wanted to change the world and actually change our nation. So as a young person, I was very active in everything I did. And when I got born again, I actually came back home to the Philippines and I started to volunteer in our church. And the only thing that was available for me at that time was to be a volunteer for Children's Church because I was married and I had a baby. So my husband and I were very active in getting involved. So I knew that I was changing the nation because I was starting with the young folks in church. But then now, suddenly, I find myself in an administrative job. I was actually doing what Jepai was doing, which was such a fun, great job. It was a job ministering to kids. It was seeing them grow in Christ. And I was invited by Gigi to join Every Nation and become a part of the staff. And I was thinking to myself, how can that be part of my goal in life? To transform the nation, being part of development. And so I started to read. Before I said yes, I started to read the Every Nation corporate mission. Okay, you may laugh, but I just wanted to make sure that I'm going to get into something that will align with my personal goal in life. Of course, it's what the Lord, wherever I am, I'm still serving God, and I know this is what the Lord wanted me to do, but I wanted to get my heart into it. I just didn't want to go there because I was forced by God. So I read the corporate mission, and it said, Every Nation is a worldwide family of churches and ministry. Victory, Real Life, and Life Back support Every Nation's global vision, which is, we exist to honor God and establish Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and here he comes, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. Through our administrative offices nationwide, we seek to achieve mission, Every Nation mission, while maintaining the following corporate culture, being missional, professional, and relational. Social responsibility. Social responsibility is an ethical ideology that has an obligation to act, either passive, by avoiding harmful acts, or by active, by performing activities that advance social acts. And I realize that we have many organizations tucked in under Every Nation that just does that. We have Real Life that helps the poor. It's our social responsibility arm. We have Life Box that helps the youth to transform the nation. We had Every Nation missions that actually send missionaries abroad to transform nations. Okay, early church and social responsibility was first cited in Acts 6 when they needed to raise up leaders who would feed the widows and the poor. And I think being an administrative staff, I am doing my part. I am not doing the ministry of the Word of God, but that as administrative staff, like all of you, we are actually feeding the poor and helping the widows. I want to thank you all for listening to me. I was very nervous for this because Pastor Paul just kept harping on it. But I hope you learned something, and I'm glad to have spoken here. Thank you. Now I can eat.
Somehow I knew I was going to get blamed for that.
We're friends.
Yes, we are. It's a good thing. All right, let's offer Cricket some positive feedback from her presentation. So, who's up first?
I think Cricket's very easy to listen to. She projects her voice very well. And so even though it was natural and conversational, but I thought it was very effective that rather than just talking as if you're talking to someone who's sitting next to you, she projected and, you know, if it really was a staff meeting with all of Metro Manila, it would have carried, like, whether you're in the first row or the last row. And because that's something that a lot of people don't think about is, like, who's sitting at the very back of the auditorium. And I thought her pacing was also very good. Her, like, the tone of her voice, her pacing, it's very easy to listen to, and it holds your attention.
Yeah, so great. Something else.
I just had a hard time looking at Miss Cricket's eye because of her glasses.
Which I cannot.
I'm sorry. You know, if they could laser it, I would, but they still don't for reading glasses.
But overall, it was...
It's vanity.
Yeah, but she connect. Aside from that, she connected well with the audience.
Yeah. Okay, good. Anything else we could tell her that was very positive to encourage her? Yeah, Yvette, here you go.
One thing I noted also is that she was, maybe somebody already mentioned this, but she was really her own self.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, I was really curious with all the harping and all. Okay, how would Miss Cricket do this and all? So I was like, oh, seeing her, and she was just her own self, how she speaks in class, how she is outside, and she was just her own self when we were listening to her today. She's
okay.
Natural.
And you're saying that's a good thing? Okay, just...
Well, authenticity.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Clarify. Yeah. All right. The critique is coming from the middle group. So, Pinky.
All right. I like the fact that Cricket was very confident.
Yeah.
However, at the end of it, I feel like I wasn't challenged enough.
Yeah.
So we have a social responsibility. What am I supposed to do?
Okay.
It was lacking in that
good.
Challenge.
Good. Excellent. Janelle?
In connection with what she said, we don't normally focus on, like, vision and values, right? We don't normally focus on social responsibility. So it was a good way to make me aware of, okay, this is social awareness.
Yeah.
But I would have preferred her to communicate it in a more natural way and not really reading the definition of something.
Okay.
It was clear because I'm not the type who will listen to you read me something.
Okay.
You know,
it's good
so
to know.
But it was clear, like at the end, okay, I got that. But yes, parang okay, so what now?
Yeah.
That was running in my head. And one other comment. Maybe something that we could all be aware of when we ask, maybe if we ask a question, maybe wait for, if you're not asking for a response, if it's a rhetorical question, you just have to make it clear that it's rhetorical versus, because you said something and then somebody responded and I wanted to respond, but then you shut it down right away. So I didn't know if you were really asking for a response or not. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So So it's like, did you really want to know what we thought or something? So there. If you're going to ask questions, make it clear.
Thank you. I liked your reading from the corporate manual, though. I thought that was effective because it's well written and it reinforces this is a written document. So this is who we were. This is who we are. I like that part for me. So, Tricia?
For Miss Cricket's stature and authority, she could just have any topic and people will listen. That's why I was waiting for the big nail, one big point that she wants to leave us all. So that's what I was waiting for. And second...
And you're saying it didn't come?
It didn't come, yeah. And the second one is maybe more illustration that is more down to earth, because after reading the corporate values and all, then we could she can connect back to the reality of our world and just make more illustrations.
But even when she read the statement, it wasn't just cold dry reading. It is this is I want to be a part of an organization that I'm really connected to. So I thought it was a personal illustration, even in the reading of the corporate statement. Yeah, Lynn?
Yeah, actually, I think in this case, because everyone is so familiar with, we're trying to reach the campus, everyone is so familiar with we're trying to reach the nations, and what we find in real life is that even some of our senior pastors don't know that social responsibility is in our mission statement. And so I think it's in that case, it's important to remind, because you can't assume that people just know that. And the one big point is donate to Real Life Foundation. Give to life, change a life.
Give us your money. Pretty simple. You did, yeah.
Just one comment. I was waiting for Cricket to crack a joke on the front. I was just waiting for her boisterous laughter to be there on the front end. But it felt, because I definitely felt that she was Cricket, except for that aspect of Cricket that you're waiting for. That there was a little bit of that. I was waiting for it. Yeah, just a little bit of it. We caught it at the end. I was waiting for it to kind of pepper the whole thing. So.
That was my last line.
Okay, so I had some real nice things to say about you, but I'm not going to do it now. Go ahead, sit down, Cricket. Sit down. On your mark, get set. You ready? Go.
Hi, everyone. I'm Krish. I am one of the administrative staff of Victor U Belt, and I'm here to talk about something very personal to me today. We're going to talk about campus ministry. As most of you know, I served as a Lifebox campus missionary for more than 5 years. But my hope and my prayer is that after the next few minutes, whether you work for Lifebox or not, or if your campus days were just fleeting days in your life or a memory that you wouldn't want to revert back, is that you would remember how much God values young people. And just a quick survey for everyone. How many of you have a copy of one of your best photos either in your laptops, your cell phones, or in your wallets? Or you keep them at least? Photos. Okay, pretty good. I'm pretty sure while I was browsing some of my old photos, I discovered two universal truths. That's not just because we're Filipinos, but probably because we are personal fans of our own best photos. One is when you take a group picture and you show it to the group, the almost instant reaction was not to look at the group, but to look at your own personal photo and say, oh, my hair is good over here. Now my outfit wasn't just right. I just need to adjust it a little. The second universal truth that I've discovered about photographs is that when you find a good photo, the tendency for you is to get a copy, keep it, and show it off to your friends. While those not so good hairstyles and not so fine outfits, you just keep them, dash them in the shelf, keep them in a photo album, and hope nobody discovers it at home. But what's more interesting is that if you want to get to know a person better, try finding that hidden photo album and try browsing at that old rusty photo so you could tell the difference from day one up to day 10, which one had a makeover. I'm telling you this because we are living at an exciting time and season in our ministry where we have so many best photos, so many success stories. There's great momentum, there's great growth, everything is happening, there's harvest left and right. But I hope we will never forget those old rusty photos of your college days, of your earlier than college days, and when our church and our movement had its small, humble, insignificant beginnings. Because most great stories started with small, humble, rusty, dusty, and old and insignificant beginnings. Just like the story of the Bible character named David. You know, in Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72, the psalmist mentions David and talks about David not as a king or as someone who slayed Goliath, but he talked about David first as a shepherd boy. In fact, the verse says, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of the people of Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And you know, David is the best example of a young person. Why? Because David was the last choice to be king of Israel. David was the youngest. When Jesse started calling out for his sons, David was the last, almost forgotten option. Oh, I have one more son, and his name is David. He's the youngest, but never mind. And David was also somewhat, if I may say, he did not have much significance compared to his brothers. In a story, you would find David's brothers fighting in battle, while David was just your personal delivery boy, giving the pizza or the snack or the afternoon water break of his brothers. In a normal evening conversation would have been like, you know what, David, I slayed 300 men today. How about you, what happened? I just killed a lion with my bare hands. And I could imagine the brother saying, yeah, it's just a lion, and you just use a stone or something like that. But I held a sword and an armor with me. And David did not have the same opportunities and the same experiences that his brothers did. But you know what was most interesting about David? God entrusted the future of an entire nation in the shoulders of a young little boy whose only responsibility was to take care of a stinky sheep pen. Today, the campus is just like a stinky sheep pen, and our young people are just like David, almost neglected, nearly insignificant, inexperienced, lacking potential or ability to prove anything. Yet God entrusts the future of our nation today. God had no problem entrusting a nation's destiny in the hands of a young kid. We started at an unlikely place in an unlikely time. We know that the history of our movement started in the corners of University Belt, in the most unlikely place to start a church. But that was that old rusty photo of our ministry that birthed all the great stories that we are harvesting today. And just to challenge every one of us, we can never grow too old to reach the campus. We can never grow too big to neglect our young people. And we can never be too successful not to believe in the next generation. 1 Corinthians.
Time. Tabulate. Everybody added? All right, let's tell Chris some things that we liked about what she did. Edwin?
We have the same message. So I think she copied mine, no? So, but I
that's not
okay. Well, what I like about Chris' presentation was she was able to really connect with the audience because of those questions, old photos, something like that. So.
Krish speaks very clearly, and you have a very wide vocabulary, and it was shown today, and you're also very confident.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, very effective, and there's a clarity when you deliver your message. Later na yung critic, pero I like your confidence, and you will be very effective in the campus ministry. Yeah, resign ka na.
You can just sense her passion with every word. And also, the way she delivered is like watching a movie. It kept you, it took you and then kept you suspended. You want how it to hang in there until how it ends.
Yeah, good. Jay, grab a mic there.
Clearly, Krisha was in her best element because the topic was close to her heart.
Yeah, why'd the Lord do that for you?
So spontaneity was really there, and she was very energetic. And I like the fact that she was constantly establishing eye contact with her audience to connect.
Yeah.
But on a side note, the rate of speech was pretty fast. But overall, it was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, friend. She's really a great storyteller.
Yeah.
It's like every time, just like what Trisha said, it's like a movie that you're just wanting to hear what's the conclusion, what's next, and she really delivered it well. That just like us, it kept us remembering of what we were used to be.
Yeah.
Being in the campus.
Great. All right, this table has a responsibility for the critique, so Evelyn, go ahead.
Yeah. The critic. Krish, as I told before, you are very effective in that area. But as you deliver today, the five-minute talk, there's a short portion wherein you will encourage us. And I believe that as it is your topic, you must be more energetic because the campus are so energetic. So parang you get their soul in you. And that's it. But everything is good.
I find that very hard to critique. I mean, you scored 48 with me. I mean, I've known Chris way back in university, and even then, that was like 10 years ago, UPLB. And even back then, she was a good speaker. I don't know what to say. The only negative thing I can say is it didn't get to end. But really, really.
Okay. I agree. No, actually, I only have good words for Chris in my notes. That's the only one that, I don't know how do you say it in English. I'm bitten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was most excited about the last part.
Okay. How about that old rusty photo analogy, huh?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, not only did she use good illustrations, but those are memorable.
Yeah.
I didn't know where she was going, which is even better. Because you're hanging, and then all of a sudden, oh, you see the connection. So it's more memorable. And then to tie David in, so she had a 1-2 punch. She hit us with a left, and then she came back with a right. All you needed at the end was to give us a great challenge. That's what, and you could have ended right at that last statement and not start even on 1 Corinthians, and that was a good ending. But that was the only thing that marred it. But you did awesome jobs. Great, great, great. All right. Ado, what do you want to say, my brother? Here we go.
Now that you mentioned that, it could be if she brought a photo, an old one, or an album. No, this is the cherry on top of the sundae. If she did that, that would be it. It would
bring
Yeah, if you, like a you know an object lesson.
Yeah, that would have been. Did you think of that?
Yeah, I did.
But you didn't follow through.
I didn't want to show my old rusty photos.
Well, that illustrates your point, doesn't it?
Yeah, show old rusty photos.
One more before the break here. Yeah, can you take him to the middle? Your evaluations, please.
Mara's coming down to grab him.
I can eat.
Everybody's focused. Who does the Lord want to speak next? All right. I'm excited about this. The topic is Christ-centered. And the person is Evelyn. I just love the drama involved in that. Yeah. Evelyn, do you want this or do you want to be? Wait till I give you the cue. We can start. On your mark. Get set, go.
Good morning. My heart is beating really fast. My day. It sounds tuk-tuk. No, seriously. My heart is the most significant. Can you stop?
The time. Seriously, our heart is the most significant and important part of our body, right? Yeah, the role of our heart is to pumps oxygenated blood to every living cell of our body. And in order to achieve its goal, it must continue to beat for every person's lifespan. Because of its vital role, a non-beating heart always results to death. And, you know, your heart starts pumping when you are 3 months old in the uterus of your mom. Same with our spiritual lives. We need Christ in order for us to live according to His calling for us. And it is vital that we have Christ in the center of our lives, that everything must be connected to Christ, because with Christ, He is the source, and in Christ it pumps that grace that we need every day. He supplies us with the wisdom that we need for our decision making, and He pumps faith in our lives to believe that all things are possible, like now. And of course, we really need Christ for that. Christ must continually work in our lives. Life without Christ means life with crisis, life without meaning and hope. But if we are connected with Him as the source of our existence. And the Bible tells us that as Christ being in the center, all is well. And so in John, it also says that Christ have come so that we may have life and have life to the full. As our vision is to honor God and establish Christ-centered, which is my topic today, as Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campuses in every nation, Christ must be in everything. He must be in the center of what we are doing. You know, everything must be connected to Him. Ourself, our very own self, our relationship, our family, our work, the world, all of it must be connected to God. In Colossians also, it tells that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And whatever you are doing today, whether you are doing campus outreach, going into nations, handling finances, feeding the poor, teaching the class, whatever it is that you are doing right now, Christ must be the center. We must do things to please God. We must do things to glorify Him. We must always be in the connecting point that fuel us, that will be the source for our productivity, so that we will be fruitful in everything that we do, so that we will be productive, and so that we will have faith that pleases God. Whatever it is that we are doing, we must work with all our heart as working for the Lord. Christ must be the center of everything. And by letting Christ in the center, we create a new self, a self in obedience to God, and taking full responsibility of the result of our work. You know, and the result of our work, when we put Christ in the center of it, will be amazing. Everything will be accomplished. We will bear fruit in every good work. And we will be strengthened with all the power from Him. All things will be possible, and we can do all things through Christ who will strengthen us. You know, we must live a Christ-centered relationship on and off our job. And when we do things for God, making Him at the center of everything that we do, we automatically receive a reward. And that will be a great reward. And you know, in the Bible, it also tells us that for those who lives, for those who does the will of God, lives forever. Maybe our heart may stop beating, but those who live, who does the will of God, lives forever. Amen. Now, I want you to place your right hand on your chest, on over your heart, and just feel your heartbeat. And as you put Christ in your lives, and as Christ dwells in you, that heartbeat of yours is the very same heartbeat of God. Thank you.
Okay, let's offer Evelyn some positive feedback. What would we like to say to her? May?
The point in the, practically her entire message had, it was all peppered with just Christ having in your heart, Christ having in your heart. That's pretty much. So it was very clear as to what exactly her topic was. So.
Yeah, good clarity. Yeah, great. Yeah.
For me, I'm just so blown away. I see Evelyn, she's in the office, and she's stuck there because she does all the admin work. And for her to speak takes so much confidence, takes so much, you know. I just really felt her as a mom, someone so committed with Christ and all that. And so I just give her props for it. At the same time, can I give my comment so that it's just one go? Everything was perfect. I liked the illustration. Yeah, I like she used like the illustration and all that. And I need my reimbursement, by the way. But my only comment is she might have been a little bit too fast.
Okay.
That's it. But yeah.
Yeah, Evelyn, it was really great. I think you connected with the audience on an emotional level. It's like it really brought like your own personal walk with Christ, you know, to the table while you were talking. And I forgot my point. No. You were very well prepared.
Yeah. Adet?
I agree. No, I like her illustration from the beginning and at the end about the heart. I like the statement that says, "Heart that supplies our living cell with oxygenated blood." I really like that statement.
Yeah, and obviously you wrote it down.
Yeah, yes. And
I
also,
I know you're probably going to tweet it at the break too, right?
Her last illustration about asking her audience to their hands and their heart, and my heart is beating fast. And I therefore conclude, and she said that your heartbeat is the heartbeat of God. Yeah. I therefore conclude that God's heartbeat also beats fast. At least I'm not on my own.
I have no idea what just happened. All right, this table has a responsibility for critique, so
Dexter's already given his pan.
I also like how the tone of your voice and the way that you communicate is like you're very committed to what you're seeing. Yeah. You're very concerned that we should also have what you have.
This is the critique.
And yes. And I guess what you can improve on, you said you know a couple of times, even at the times that you don't need it. And yeah, I think that's
all you got. Just a couple of emblelia, huh?
Yeah. Evelyn's revelation. I was surprised. I was like, wow, Evelyn should speak more, you know. And there was definitely authority and you imparted something. So I thought it was significant. The one thing, if ever I nitpick on something, would be a little bit more structure in the front end so that it gives me a little bit of framework on, okay, where are you going? But I loved how you, that said, it was 5 minutes, so I don't know how much structure you can actually give it. Yeah. But that said, I loved how you started with the heartbeat. I thought you were being personal and the fact that you were nervous, and then you had a point. And then it shifted at the very end where you wrapped it up with the same illustration. So I thought it was very neatly done. Yeah. So.
Evelyn, you did it. No, stay. We're not done yet. I got to give my 2 cents until Simon Cowell speaks. So you're not. It's not finished. Oh, go ahead. Just leave him on, and then he'll control it there.
Just to add one thing, because this applied to a few other people too. Because I thought, Evelyn was obviously very well prepared, and you know, I really enjoyed her presentation. But she started with a frown, and several people have forgotten the part about walk, stride confidently to the front, and because the thing is, even if you're feeling nervous, or even if you don't think, it's the same thing as don't start with, I'm not good at public speaking, but, and so, starting with, you know, when he said time, you were going, but you didn't need to because you speak very well.
You
it
do.
Was very natural, and you gave a great presentation. So I think sometimes it's a mental challenge for people because you think that you're not strong in public speaking, or you're nervous, and so you think it's going to show. But if you just project confidence, no one is going to know because you did a great job. But because you prefaced it with a frown and kind of going up like this, then everyone knows she's nervous, she's worried.
Yeah. How did you feel when you were speaking? Really? Because you really did a very good job. Very good. And out of everyone who's spoken, you probably had the most content. I mean, there was a strong opening illustration, and you kept that metaphor of the heart all the way through, tied it to the end. Your weakest area is your delivery. But you sort of overcome that with good material. But if you add to that a little bit more charisma, a little bit more vocal variation, tone, volume, etc., then you'd have a winning combination. So you should probably do this more often. Okay? All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back. Oh, make sure we've already collected, right? Do we? Don't leave yet, then. Until they don't go yet. Wait a minute, everybody's don't go yet. Don't go yet means wait till we got them all. Because last time we took a break, we didn't get everybody. So I want to make sure we get them all. 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 Yeah, we got them all. All right, we'll be back at 11:05.